Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. I had mentioned that Attorney General Loretta Lynch was planning a news conference for right now. That's going to happen now, we're told, a little bit later in the hour. So in the meantime, we've got a little taste of what summer can do these last few days with more to come. And climate change means there's probably a lot more heat and humidity to come. Now, WNYC is partnering with the CUNY Journalism School's digital news initiative, Adapt NY, as well as the IC Change Weather Journal, to try and capture some data on what hotter summers mean for hotter cities, and especially city residents without air conditioning. And they're looking specifically in a new project at Harlem. And they're looking for volunteers. So joining me to explain the Harlem Heat Project and how you may be able to participate are Adam Glenn, founder and editor of Adapt NY, WNYC reporter Sarah Gonzalez, and John Keefe, WNYC senior editor for Data News. Hi, Sarah and John, and welcome, Adam Glenn.
Thanks
Hi.
For having me.
Hi.
Adam, let's start on why Harlem?
We've been looking at a lot of problems relative to what's going to happen with climate change in New York over the last few years. And flooding is really the big one, sea level rise, storm surge, et cetera. But, you know, that's a problem that is really about property. And we wanted to look at a problem that's about people. And heat is that problem. It's a silent killer. Many people, and sadly, indoors rather than outdoors is where they're being affected. And so we wanted to look and find a place in the city where indoor air temperatures were harmful to people's health on a regular basis. There are a lot of such places in the city, unfortunately, these kind of heat pockets within the heat island that is New York itself. Harlem stood out, though, and one of the reasons I wanted to just mention one of the other partners is a community partner, and that's WEACT. WEACT for Environmental Justice is a community organization that's been there for 30 years working on environmental justice issues. And why that matters is because to do the journalism we want to do, we need to understand the community and its problems better, and we need to engage with the people in the community.
Now, here's one of the scientists helping with this project explaining that concept that you just referred to, heat islands, explaining it to WNYC Sotirios Johnson. This is Pratap Ramamurthy of City College.
The way we conceive a city is we have replaced a lot of these vegetation or plants and trees with built materials like concrete, asphalt, and steel. These materials have a huge capacity to store and release heat, and they simply don't cool off, just like your natural surfaces. So people who actually live in the cities are much, much more vulnerable to heat stress because of this urban heat island effect.
So heat islands is sort of a technical term for something we all feel like we know, those of us who live in the city, within the concrete of the city, specific neighborhoods like Harlem are even hotter.
That's right. So, you know, the city is much hotter than the surrounding area for obvious reasons. We have these built surfaces, things like asphalt that absorb a lot of heat, and a lot less vegetation to cool things off, especially at night. So then within the city, there are areas that have even less vegetation and more, blacktop, black roofs, that makes them more. Sometimes also their topography, elevation, et cetera.
Heat, heat, heat. So, Sarah Gonzalez, what are you hoping the listeners will do? Are you looking for citizen scientists to participate in a particular way?
Yeah, so we're actually – one of the things about heat is that when we talk about how hot it is in New York City, we're normally basing that off of the temperature that's outside, not the temperature that's inside. And so what we're doing with the data news team, which is kind of the censored journalism news team as well, is John has been making these sensors that we're going to put in people's homes. That's going to measure the heat inside their homes every few minutes. John can talk about that more. But what we're trying to get at is, you know, how hot is it in these people's homes and how do people experience heat and what are their tricks that they might have for staying cool? So one of the problems is that a lot of residents don't have AC and the reasons why they don't have AC can vary. Some of them just don't like AC. Some of them don't think that they need it. But most often it's because they can't afford it. And so we've already been speaking to people who say that they cannot afford AC. And one mom, Tina Johnson, she has three kids. She lives on the 18th floor of a building in Harlem. And she says, I mean, you can imagine the 18th floor of a building.
Hot air rises.
Yes. I live on the 6th floor and I can't even imagine going that many more floors up. And she has three kids. One of her kids, or two of her kids, share a room. And she says that they have to sleep in the living room because they cannot sleep in their bedroom. She also mentioned that the windows in that bedroom have been nailed shut by the housing department because it was kind of like a hazard in some way. They don't even get to open their windows.
So let's add a little anecdotal element to this, even though this is primarily a data science segment. Listeners, if you live in Harlem or another of the area's heat islands and you don't have AC, tell us how you cope. 212-433-WNYC. Do you visit libraries or other cooling centers during the heat of the day? Do you have to sleep in different rooms to get some ventilation? Shower off and on during the day, or stand by a fan? I don't know, maybe with the shower on. Tell us about the toll that hot days and nights take on you and your family, and how you manage if you can't afford air conditioning. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And John Keefe from our data news department. Sarah mentioned the sensors that you'll be giving our listener, citizen scientist ambassadors. I'm holding one of these now. You gave me one on your way in, and I'll just describe it a little bit. It looks like kind of a cell phone battery base attached to what looks like a little Legos truck, all that could fit in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, that's a great description. And it's built from Hobby Electronics. You can buy online. And so there's a few different parts here. One of them is the brain, and that's a little tiny hobby computer called an Arduino. There's a little temperature humidity sensor sticking off the side of it. And on top, you have an SD card slot, which is a little memory card like you might have in your camera or your cell phone. And that's where the data is written. It also has a little extra watch battery here for a real-time clock. So whenever a measurement is taken, we actually know what time the measurement was taken. And that little cell phone battery you're talking about there will let it run for weeks, taking a temperature every 15 minutes or so. So we have 15 of these right now. We're going to get some folks to put them in their apartment for a couple of weeks to see how that goes. And then we may do as many as 50 of them. Mm-hmm. We may get some help to put them together because...
So to be clear, are you looking for 15 different volunteers to contact us from different parts of the city? So these are sort of scientifically distributed?
So right now the plan is we're going to be meeting with the group from WEACT this weekend, and 15 volunteers. So we already have the first 15 all set
up. WEACT, the Urban Environmental Justice Organization.
Correct. And they are actually going to take these home and give them a whirl and put them on their dressers, and see how they go. Because we haven't done this before. We started doing this mainly because I'd been playing with these electronics. And when Adam approached WNYC, I heard about it, and I was like, hey, we could do this. So we'll have 15 people trying it out. And then the idea is that whether we generate other contacts or those 15 people who are in the community know other people who might want to participate, we'll distribute them as much as we can.
Yeah, we're referring to these citizen scientists as ambassadors to the community. So they are a sort of an entry point, and then recruit others who can host these sensors. But we want to hear their stories as well, the kind of stories that Sarah talked about, not just the data, but what their everyday experience is.
Right. I'm going to be hanging out with these people possibly overnight just to see how they kind of experience it.
And we have some stories coming in on the phones that we'll go to in just a minute. But what's the data you're looking for? I mean, do you have a hypothesis?
Yeah. I mean, we believe that the temperatures indoors are hotter than out of doors in many of these residences. That's what we think, and that's what we'll look for. We're not sure of that.
So you're looking for a differential kind of on average in Harlem apartments without air conditioning, basically,
right? That's right. And we will have other data. So our partner, iCChange, which you mentioned, has access to NASA satellite data, which is one of the standard readings. And we'll also have one of the scientists who are informally advising the project, placing soil sensors. So we'll have ways to kind of triangulate and see when it's the temperature outside, what's it like inside.
Want to hear a story? Christine in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you on this day with, I understand, no air conditioning?
Yeah, that's true. When it gets very hot, I generally, what I do is I would close my windows, pull the blind. I think one of the ways of also coping with heat outside of the external is also having to monitor the type of foods that you eat. I don't eat a lot of very sugary foods or things that a lot of stimulants. It's, food is also play a very important part in terms of how you're going to cope with internal and external heat, because, you know, the sun is one heat, but if you're eating the wrong type of foods as well, that also stimulates your body, and it makes coping with the heat outside of your body very difficult. And so that's how I have managed over the years. And I live in Harlem proper, and also I live in NYCHA, so I have absolutely no air condition, never had. I basically don't like air condition. Mm-hmm. So that's how I cope with my with the heat.
Christine, thank you very much. Very useful. And Joanne in Upper Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joanne.
Oh, hi. Hi. I don't know, I'm just listening to all these people, and I don't have air conditioning. It's brutal in my apartment, actually. And the way to deal that I deal with it is to take freezing showers, but, you know, sometimes just throw my head in the shower and my shoulders, and I tend to get heat stroke, and I'm a senior. I'm 74, and I noticed also if you put some kind of cream on your body, it closes the pores, and it can make being hot even hotter because your skin isn't breathing.
Joanne, did you tell our screener that you don't have air conditioner because your apartment can't sustain the electricity?
Yeah, the amps are very low. The landlord just, I guess, doesn't want to.
I would think, and I wonder if anybody here knows the building code, I would imagine that in Manhattan, in New York City, I should say, and Joanne lives in Upper Manhattan, that the building code should be such that there's enough ampage, that's probably not the technical term, but to accommodate an air conditioner. Anybody know?
I'm not sure, but actually Adam and I were talking yesterday about one of our ambassadors. Her name is Michelle Holmes. She lives in a building where they were getting a lot of power outages, and so they put a generator right outside of the building, and she doesn't have AC in her home, and now that generator is kind of like blowing in soot into her home. And so she was, Adam and I were talking about, right. She says that she has to like wash her dishes, and then before she puts them away, she has to wipe off all the soot because she wants her windows open because at least there's a breeze.
Right. And Joanne, I don't know the answer, but we should find out that answer and broadcast it. You know, most modern apartments have a separate outlet where you plug in the air conditioner because it does take a lot of power relative to other appliances. But I would think that a Manhattan apartment like what you live in should be able to at least have an air conditioner plugged in if that's your choice. And we're going to try to find out.
And she, you might, Joanne, want to also take a look at your lease and see what the landlord is obliged to provide. He may be obligated to provide an AC or cooling to the apartment as well.
All right. Let's take another call. Here is, Colin in Brooklyn is working on something to address the heat island effect, I think. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener, second-time caller. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
So I work in the green roofing field, and I'm currently pulling weeds on a building in downtown Brooklyn. But green roofs are great. And unfortunately, the city doesn't, you know, give access to them enough for developers and provide rebates. We have places like Washington, D.C. that can, you know, they rebate green roofs like $30 a square foot, where New York is only $10 a square foot. And what green roofs do are they lower the temperature of a roof. They, the water runoff is severely mitigated. So I think we can incorporate a lot of that in all the new development in the city.
Colin, thank you very much. Interesting. So, Adam, could this be kind of part of the solution to the problem once you have your data about how much warmer it is indoors and outdoors in unair-conditioned apartments to kind of, promote the green roofs movement?
Yeah, it's a huge part of the solution. Rooftops are something like 20% of New York City. And the Cool Roofs program and the city has one and some various green building approaches that are going to try and change that with literally whitewashing roofs, planting roofs, et cetera. And that's a big part of the urban heat island solution.
Roberto in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roberto.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Okay.
Actually, I'm just calling because I haven't had AC for the past 20 years since I was in here in New York. And the way I cool down, just get used to it or just stay under the shower, run only cold water until I freeze and, eventually air dry.
Thank you very much. Now, John, as kind of a science geek here, I've heard the opposite theory sometimes, that you could take a warm shower and then you'll feel cooler when you get out, as opposed to taking a cold shower, and then you'll be cold for a few minutes, but you'll go right back into the heat. You have any opinion about this?
I have no scientific or anecdotal opinion about that, except to say that that doesn't work for me.
Here's an apartment building super calling in, Al in Manhattan, and maybe he can answer Joanne's question about the amps. Hi, Al.
Hi. I just heard what she was saying, and I live in an apartment built in the 1890s. It has very old wiring, and we only have 15 amps for each apartment. Just so people have a picture, a 15-amp fuse is about the smallest thing that you can get. And we have air conditioners here because we have one rule. You have to get something that's no more than 5,000 BTUs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the exact amperage is on them, but there's no such thing as an air conditioner that's 15 amps for an apartment. And the other thing is, if you turn on anything that makes heat or anything that cools, like a hot plate or a refrigerator, refrigerators surge, so you have an anti-surging fuse. But if you turn a hot plate on and an air conditioner at the same time, you might blow a fuse.
Right.
But if you keep that down, if you're really aware, you have no problem. You can put an air conditioner anywhere. The modern air conditioners are really good. And by the way, I live on the top floor under a black tar roof, and I don't have an air conditioner. I have a big fan at one end of the apartment, a big at the other. One blows in, one blows out, and I have a fan in the middle to keep it going. It's okay.
Al, thank you very much. So, Joanne, if you're still listening, hopefully that's a tip. You can get a low BTU little air conditioner, at least for one of your rooms, and it's probably going to be okay if you manage your other appliances, like don't ever put anything in the refrigerator. No, I'm kidding. but hopefully you can manage to make it work. Maybe you can get somebody to help you with that if you're still listening.
I just want to say one thing. We're talking about the different ways that people stay cool during the summer. But this project that we're doing, it's not really about temperature. It's about public health. This is a public health issue. And in Harlem, Harlem has the largest number of heat-related, more residents in Harlem go to the hospital for heat-related stress than any other part of the city. And another thing that's interesting to note is that electricity in New York City is one of the most expensive in the country. Depending on how you look at it, it is at least the fourth most expensive place to turn on a light or turn on an AC unit. And so the issue of being able to afford AC is an actual problem.
So just tell people again how they can participate in this experiment, Sarah.
So I guess, I don't know, John, we haven't talked about how they should reach out to us.
Yeah.
You guys can email me. Should I give them my email address?
That's up to
you. Great, yes. It's on Twitter. It's on everywhere. So that's fine with me. It's sgonzalez, sgonzalez at wnyc.org. Email me if you live in Harlem and you want to put a sensor in your home.
Now you have to live in Harlem and you have to have no AC.
you don't have to have no AC. Some of our ambassadors have like one AC unit in one of the bedrooms, and none of the other bedrooms have AC, and they're part of it too. I think we're trying to get a range of a couple different living situations.
John Keefe, is this sensor, is another word for this cool looking little sensor a thermometer?
It's really a data logger. It's a thermometer and a humidity detector. So we'll be able to see how the real feel
both.
Is. Yeah,
and it will record both of those items at different times.
Every 15
minutes. And
it'll
keep a memory of it.
Yep, right? And it keeps a memory. And then what we're going to do is we're going to work with the scientists to look at that data. So one way to participate is you'll be watching our reporting about this. We'll be visualizing it and looking at things like how long does it take for an apartment to cool after a day like we're having today.
John Keefe, WNYC Senior Editor for Data News. Sarah Gonzalez, WNYC Reporter, that is at S. Gonzalez at WNYC.org. If you live in Harlem and have at least one room with no air conditioning and want to participate in this experiment, and Adam Glenn, founder and editor of Adapt NY. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll listen to the station in, I guess, a couple of weeks for the results, right?
Right on.
Okay, thanks all. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll get the latest from Dallas in just a minute. Stay with us.